All right. Thank you for joining with us in that singing this morning. You know, that last song, Because He Lives. We can face tomorrow. And again, the last 2.5 months have been so focused on COVID-19 and a lot of songs at different church services and even messages and devotionals. They're all focused on about coping with tomorrow, dealing with the fear of the virus. And I'm not going to downplay that, folks, because there are people that are still fearful of it because it is still real. This past week, we had gotten an email, a notification that the director of one of the mission boards that we have missionaries from, Dr. Gardner, as far as I know this morning, he's still in a coma, medically induced coma, fighting for his life because of the COVID-19 virus. So, folks, it is real. Let's not downplay it. The song we just sang, Because He Lives, I Can Face Tomorrow, that's not just because of the virus situation that we have around us right now. Folks, the words of that song applied before the virus. They're going to apply after the virus because life still happens to everyone. Pastor Taylor's been preaching through the book of Job. We certainly see what he has gone through. And as Christians, we can sing the song, Because He Lives, I Can Face Tomorrow, with whatever's going on in your life right now. As a Christian, you can face tomorrow because Jesus does live. And now before I preach, we're going to hear some special music from a group. It's entitled Something to Sing About. Regardless of your deepest, darkest day you had last week, did you know we still have something to sing about? And as Christians, we should sing.
We've got something to sing about, something to sing about.
We've got something to sing about, something to sing about.
My spirit has a reason that makes me want to shout, a reason that makes me want to shout.
Something to sing about.
Something to sing about.
Something to sing, something to sing about.
There are plenty of songs that can make you happy, plenty to make you smile. But the song in my heart will never leave me empty, and never go out of style. Oh, never go out of style. We've got something to sing about. Something to sing about.
Got something to sing about, something to sing about.
My spirit has a reason that makes me want to shout, a reason that makes me want to shout. Cause we've got
something to sing about,
something to sing about,
something to sing, something to sing about.
When I was sinking in the miry clay,
somebody pulled me out.
He put a new song in my heart that day.
Something to sing about, oh, something to sing about.
We've got something to sing about, something to sing about.
We've got something to sing about, something to sing about.
My spirit has a reason that makes me want to shout, a reason that makes me want to shout.
Something to sing about.
Something to sing about.
Something to sing, something to sing about.
We're just warming up.
We're
just warming up. Someday in heaven, there's no doubt, we'll have something to sing about. We'll have something about. Something to sing about.
We'll have something.
We'll have something about. Something to sing about.
We'll have a reason.
to you, and maybe it gives you something to consider, something to sing about, even in spite of what might be going on in your life right now. If you would, take your Bibles, please, and turn with me to Ruth chapter 2, Ruth chapter number 2. Last week, we started looking at the initial blessings that Ruth began experiencing. And we pointed out they weren't huge, okay? They weren't very big, but they were blessings. And if you remember, we kind of just focused a little bit for a brief moment of time last week on the fact that God blesses us every day. We do have something to sing about, folks. Every day we wake up, no matter how bad the circumstances are, no matter how bad everything around us isn't working the way we think we want it to be working, God's Word says He loadeth us with blessings that morning when we woke up. We have something to sing about. We have blessings upon blessings. And I remember specifically last week, I just threw this thought out there that we have so many blessings, and because we determine them to be just little things, we don't pay any attention to them. We don't even see them as blessings. Ruth began receiving blessings. They were small. And folks, we need to look for the blessings that God gives us each and every day. I got a blessing yesterday. I got to take two of my grandsons for their very first fishing excursion yesterday morning. That old Visa commercial, you know, some things are priceless. That was priceless. Seeing the look on his face, as soon as that bobber hit the water with his brand new 3-foot-long Paw Patrol fishing pole that Papa bought him, that bobber hit the water, and within 30 seconds, the bobber goes underneath the surface, and he's trying to reel in a fish. He wasn't even sure what reel it in means. Reel it in. And all he knows is he's supposed to do this. So he's reeling it in. And the joy that just came out of that little boy's mouth when he reeled in his first fish, and the excitement on his face. What a blessing, folks. And then he caught three more after that, like boom, 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 just like that. Think, wow, what a great day. I know, just recently I talked about when you go fishing with me, you don't catch any fish. Apparently that jinx is over with. Now you do want to go fishing with me. And but after he caught like his fourth fish, now keep in mind, he's almost four, okay? And as four-year-olds go, by the time he caught his fourth fish, he realized, oh, acorns. Oh, here's a stick. I could throw it in the water. Oh, there's water, and I'm wearing my rubber rain boots. And totally done with fishing at that point. But what a blessing that was. And folks, we have these blessings all around us every day. Let's not miss them. And as we see Ruth's response to these little blessings that she got last week when we looked at her, we're going to learn something more about her character. Look with me at verse number 10. Here's what she did. Then she fell on her face, bowed herself to the ground, and said unto him, to Boaz, why have I found grace in thine eyes, that thou shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing I am a stranger? And Boaz answered and said unto her, it hath been fully showed me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thine husband, and how thou hast left thy father and thy mother and the land of thy nativity, and art come unto a people which thou knowest not heretofore. The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, God, I ask you that you would be with us this morning as we look into your word. As as we are all assembled here together from different homes, different places, as we, God, thank you for allowing us to be able to virtually come together. And as we've done so this morning, God, I pray that you would minimize the distractions in people's homes around them. Distractions even that we sometimes allow in our homes while we're watching church. But God, please help us to just focus on your word here this morning. And let your spirit work in our heart. Encourage our heart. Heal our heart. Challenge our heart. Whatever each person's needs are this morning. God, you can do that. And I just trust you, Lord, that you could use me as your tool in delivering that truth this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay. Boaz gave Ruth a reassurance of the blessings that he had just outlined to her. Back in verse 10, she's questioning, Boaz, why have I found grace in thine eyes? That's a key word there. She's questioning, why is he showing me? This is too good to be true. And you remember, all he said was, you can have some of the water. and you can stay in my fields. That's all he said. And she's like, oh, this is too good to be true. I don't even deserve this. And Boaz gives her the blessings of reassurance. You know, reassurance is good, folks. She was surprised by this gift. It was so overwhelming to her. We've got to try to wrap our minds around this to understand the impact of what's taking place here. Because in our minds, we're tempted to think, oh, well, instead of drinking that warm water from her animal skin flask that she has on her side, she gets to drink cool water from the well with the other servants. Woohoo, big deal. Oh, no, we've got to wrap our minds around this. She was surprised by that gift. It was overwhelming to her. Her reaction showed something about her. Remember, I said we're going to learn something more about her character here. She didn't think herself worthy of that. She didn't think she deserved to have that. And so she needed reassurance. She did not have this thing that exists today, this entitlement way of thinking that so many people have today. You owe me this. Sometimes people prior to the virus, they'd walk into the church and they want money. And they want to help getting a bill paid. They come up with all kinds of reasons and excuses. And sometimes when we say sorry, they're offended. The entitlement philosophy, you owe me. If Ruth had come in that door 3 months ago and said, could you help me? And we handed her a bottle of water. She would have fell on her face and said, why are you being so gracious to me? That's humility. That's not groveling. That's someone who doesn't think more highly of themselves than they ought to think, as God's word cautions us to not do. The fact that she fell on her face in that physical posture shows that her belief was that she wasn't worthy of these kindnesses. That's not the only time that we see this in God's word. In the New Testament, that's what Peter did before Christ after that great catch of fish. When in Luke chapter 5 and verse 8, Simon Peter, it says, when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees saying, depart from me. Look what he says. For I am a sinful man, O Lord. He didn't assume the posture of I'm somebody and you should grovel to me. I am somebody. You need to cater to me. He's like, I'm just a sinful man. Who am I? Folks, this is where our heart needs to be when we approach God. Can I just throw this in here too? This is where our hearts need to be when we approach each other. Submitting ourselves one to another, humility with each other. Our heart needs to be in a place of humility. Look, here's the reality. None of us are worthy of His blessings. Even the little ones that we take for granted, we don't even deserve those. This humility that Ruth demonstrated, this humility that we need to have in our hearts, it shows gratitude for the blessings. Let's look at it this way. You give a present to a child at Christmas time, okay? I don't know how many days till Christmas. I haven't even been thinking about that. Some people maybe have. However many days it is till Christmas. It's coming, okay? And we're going to be out buying Christmas presents for kids. If you've got children at home, let's say you give a present to a child at Christmas time. Maybe lots of presents. Maybe they like them all. Every present you buy them, they just love it. And they don't get all the presents they wanted, though. And then what do? Some may whine because they didn't get what they wanted. How do you feel right then? What do you say to them? Well, fine, I'm just going to take all these other presents back. I'm your parent, blah, blah, blah. And then all the parental sayings come out, right? I brought you in this world, I can take you out. Whatever parents say at times like that. Some, unfortunately, would say, oh, honey, I'm sorry. Let's go to the store tomorrow and we'll buy that for you. Bad move, Mom and Dad. Okay? I think most parents, though, at that moment right there, we would think you ungrateful little brat, maybe. Okay? How dare you? I got you all this stuff and you didn't get this and now you're whining because you don't have this? Look at everything that I bought for you. The big, the little, all of it in between. And you're whining because you didn't get this? Okay. Now, as adults, we're all adults here, right? God has blessed us beyond what we realize. But sometimes, because we didn't get all that we want. Sometimes people get mad at God. They ask for more. They haven't even said thank you for what they do have. We've got something to sing about and some people won't sing. It's like they've got nothing to sing about. But we ask God for more. Now back up to that child at Christmas. You just bought them all this stuff. And they said, oh, I really wanted this. Can I have this? How many of you would be tempted to go out and buy it for them right then? Probably not too many parents would. But if the child's smart, okay, they're going to take a posture of gratitude and say, Mom, Dad, thank you for this. Thank you for this and this and this and this. And, oh, this is so wonderful. And, oh, this, I wasn't even expecting this. Mom, Dad, thank you for this and thank you for this. And this one thing that I really wanted. Thank you so much for getting me this. And I just so appreciate this. Mom, Dad, I don't deserve any of this, but thank you. You have shown your love so much to me. And Mom and Dad, this one thing you got me, I was just seeing yesterday, there's an accessory that goes with it. Do you think maybe we might be able to look at adding that sometime in the future? Wow. The parent's going to have a hard time saying no to that. They're showing thankfulness and gratitude. And yet when we pray, when we say, hey, man, give me something to praise God for this week. We have to think about it. And then we launch, like on a Wednesday night, then we launch right into our prayer list. God, give me this, I want this, I want this, I want this, and this, and this, and that, and that. And we couldn't even praise Him for what He's already given to us. Humility. It shows gratitude for the blessings that we have. A lack of reverence shows sinful pride and a lack of gratitude. Ruth asks the question here of Boaz. She says, why have I found grace? Now, this is interesting because I'm going to develop this a little bit more here this morning. This is more of our picture of salvation in the story of Ruth. She recognized she wasn't, that she was getting something that she didn't deserve. She said, why have I found grace? It was grace that she was getting. She didn't think she deserved it in any way. But wait a minute. Here's where some people might be. I worked hard all day in this field. I took only short breaks. These are all things she did. I worked hard all day. I've only taken short breaks. Everyone else took longer breaks. I gave up a lot to follow Naomi. She deserved a little break, didn't she? We would be tempted to think that. But yet, look at her posture. She says, this is all grace. These are all things I don't deserve. Now, grace. It's a verse that we've looked at before in the last couple of weeks. Ephesians 2, verse 8, it says, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Okay, now, let's do something this morning. Let's filter this story of Ruth through this verse, Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. Okay? Yes, she had given things up, didn't she? A lot. She had given up virtually everything. She had worked hard. She had worked, in fact, she had worked harder than anyone else. The context of the verse tells us that. Everyone else took longer breaks, not her. She worked harder than anyone else, but she didn't deserve the blessing. She deserved what everyone else was getting. But this gift, think of it now, picture this. This gift was being given to her anyway. It was because of grace, not because of her works. Can you see how that lines up with Ephesians 2, 8, 9? God tells us that salvation is by grace. We don't deserve it. Ruth didn't deserve the blessings. We don't deserve salvation because God says He establishes it right from the get-go. This is by grace. Listen to what some people would say, though, in response to this. I am a good person. So is Ruth. I go to church. I give money to help people. I help people. I help people with my time. I give up doing some things so that I can help people in need. I pray. I was baptized. I don't do boast, 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 and more boasting. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, it says it's by grace, not of works, lest any man should boast. They are saying, I deserve the blessing of going to heaven because I do all these things and I don't do these things. I deserve it. No, my friend. It is when we come to God in humility and recognition that we don't deserve it. That's when we place ourselves in the position of receiving grace, receiving salvation. A person that comes to God with the "I deserve it" attitude because look at all the good stuff I've done, they're turned away. They're not in a position to receive the grace that brings salvation. Another way that Ruth needed reassurance was the fact that she was a foreigner. She mentions that. A Moabite from the land of Moab. She knew firsthand the degradation of the Moabites. The fact that she was identified with them made her feel like this grace just couldn't be happening. But it was. Can I just say that there are people that have the same attitude about salvation as Ruth had about receiving the blessings from Boaz. They feel they are too bad a sinner to be saved because of everything they've done. Them. This story gives us a picture of God's grace and that it's for everyone that believes. Some have said this, and maybe you've heard people say this before. If I walked into the church, lightning would strike me dead at the door, right? Well, I would very respectfully submit to you that there's no biblical evidence of that ever happening. And there's no biblical evidence that would suggest God would do that if someone walked into church because they're such a bad sinner. But as long as we're speculating about that, let me add my opinion. If someone that thinks they would be struck by lightning if they walked into a church building, based upon what I know of God, what I know of His mercy, and His intense love for you, if you were to walk in these doors, the worst of sinners walks in these doors, what would happen? I believe that instead of lightning striking them dead, I believe thousands of angels would be singing hallelujah. Because that's why Jesus died. For you. To walk in the doors of a church perhaps someday and receive forgiveness of your sins. God saves sinners regardless of their sin. While this is a picture of salvation, there's also a picture here for those that are saved. And these are the blessings that come from trust. Look at verse 12 again. Boaz is speaking here. He says, "The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust." Boaz recognizes her trust in God, and because of her trust in God, he is saying there will be blessings that come from her trust in God. Her trust in God today is going to yield blessings tomorrow. Okay? Keep that timeline in your mind there. Back up a little bit. However long before that day, when she chose to leave her country, leave her family, to stick by Naomi, to leave her gods and follow the one true God and trust that God, the moment she placed her trust in that God, someone could have told her then, blessings will come from the trust you demonstrate today. And looky here. She's getting blessings from Boaz. God is using Boaz to deliver the blessings to Ruth, who placed her trust in God sometime in the past. And now Boaz is actually praying for her that she would reveal or receive full reward for the trust she's giving God today. And that reward is coming. Ruth demonstrated her trust when she left Moab. Okay, folks, we demonstrate our trust when we leave those things in our life that we put trust in. As Christians now, this is who we're just talking together right now. The things that we put our trust in. When those things are taken away and we're worried and we got to do something, we got to fix it. And there's nothing we could do. God says, whoa, 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 whoa. Maybe this morning, this part is just for you to look at it and say, okay, God's saying, you trust me today. Just trust me. Blessings will come. Full trust today for full blessings tomorrow. It was not works, the works of Ruth, but faith that was the foundation of her blessings. There's that word trust. Just as it is with our own salvation, it's the work of, it's our faith, not our works, that is the foundation of the blessing of salvation. And just as it is with other blessings from God, it's not our works, it's our faith, our trust in Him. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 35, it says, cast not away therefore your confidence, your trust, your faith, which hath great recompense or reward. So often, we, as Christians, we say, we'll trust God. Especially, you know when we say that the most? Is when someone else is going through it. We say, oh brother, just trust God. Trust God. He's trustworthy. When we're going through it, yeah, okay, a little bit of trust, but not full trust. God just says, hey, just take your hands off. Trust me. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence. Your confidence, your trust in Him, that verse says, hath great recompense or reward. Don't throw it away. Don't your faith, your trust that you have in God, not just for salvation, but for all areas of your life. It is your faith that brings the reward. Now, obviously, in the context of salvation, it is all about our faith. It's only faith that brings salvation. It's realizing that there is nothing that we can do to save ourselves, to put us in a right relationship with God, to assure that we'll be in heaven. When we realize, friends, when we realize, when you realize there is nothing that you can do to save yourself, the only thing left to do is trust. That's where Ruth was. She was in that position. She knew she didn't deserve this. And that put her in the position to receive grace. As Christians, there are many things in our life that we just can't control. We wish we could, okay? But there's things that we just can't control. God's plan for my life was not to give me control over this area. He's given me control over this sphere of influence that's called my life. But even within that sphere, there are things that are out of my control. Put some out here. There are things that I wished I did have control over. There are things that I wished I could change. People that I know and love that are struggling with health issues right now. Cancer. I wished I could change it. But God says that's not in my realm of control. As Christians, there are those things. We can't control it. Circumstances. People. The virus. Illness. And man, that list could just go on and on and on. We try to control. We sometimes that thing that's out here that we just so wish we could change. We try to change it. We try to alter it. We try to manage it. But there's only so much that we can do. And when we have done everything that we can do, what happens next? Then we start enduring the angst and the fear and the anxiety and the sleeplessness and the worry over that thing that we can't, the part we can't change. Because things aren't the way we want them to be. But right there, that is where God wants us to just stop and trust. That's what we call faith. It's not just a word that we sing about in a song. It's not just a word we talk about or a word in a verse. It's something that we have to do. Just a side note here. Ruth's faith in God was evident to others. Verse 11, again, back up to that. It says, "And Boaz answered and said unto her, It hath fully been showed me." Her Boaz speaking there. He's saying, "Ruth, I know all about your, I know all about your faith. It has been showed to me." Her faith was just obvious. The people of Bethlehem had been talking. Okay. They knew of her faith. How? Because she lived it. They could tell there was something different about her. Some Christians say they have faith, but you wouldn't know it by watching them outside of church. They say they have faith, but there are times in their lives when you wouldn't know it by the way they're acting. By the way, I said there are some Christians. Let me change that. We all do that. We don't always live, show our faith. Ruth did. Sometimes on the outside we may look like we're showing our faith there, but there are some less obvious ways that we don't show our Christianity. Take, for example, fear. Let me ask you, did Jesus ever fear when he was on this earth? Absolutely not. In fact, the phrase, "fear not," just that phrase, there are other derivatives of this concept, of not fearing, but just that phrase, fear not, is found 63 times in the Bible. Fear simply means we are not trusting God. When we're not trusting, we're fearing. Do we sometimes give a message that shows we're not trusting God just because of our fear? Let's look at verse 12. There's one more point here that I want to key in on from verse 12, and that would be our hindrance to the blessings. But here's the verse: "The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust." Boaz, he uttered a prayer for Ruth. Here was his prayer: full reward. Not today. He gave her just a little bit, remember? Full reward to come. A prayer that God would bless her for her faith. Folks, by the way, no one can bless like God can bless. Sometimes he uses human means to bless people. Like in this case, he used Boaz to be a blessing to Ruth, even in these little things. Boaz was the agent for her immediate blessings. But he would also, and neither one of them knew this yet, he would also be the agent for her future blessings that were to come. Folks, be willing to be a part of that blessing to someone. If we pray for others to be blessed, if we pray for others to be helped with a difficulty they're going through, and we pray for them to be blessed by God, don't be surprised if God says he wants to use you to be a part of that blessing. Be willing to be a part of the blessing. God may ask you to give of yourself, give of your substance, to provide for the blessing of others. Notice also that the size of the blessing that Boaz is praying for was a full reward, complete blessing from God, the blessing for Ruth from God, all of it, the complete full blessing is what he's praying for. The Hebrew word there that's translated into English as full, it actually means complete or finished. So all of the blessing. He's praying that Ruth wouldn't miss out on any of the blessing that God has planned for her. Praying that her reward would be complete, that her cup would be full. She had been full in her commitment and in her fulfilling of that commitment. And she was obedient to that commitment. Now, here's the application for us. Full obedience brings full reward. And we can unravel that the other way too. Partial obedience, partial reward. When we choose to disobey, we're not just choosing to do what we want, when we want, how we want to do it, and what's making me happy right now, and that's why I'm choosing what I want to do right now. We're also saying, I don't want the blessings that are going to come from being obedient. I wonder how many times, I don't wonder this for you, I'll stay busy enough just wondering it for me. I wonder how many times I have cut short my blessings because I did not fully obey God. I didn't fully dedicate myself to God. To the Christian, folks, every gift is from God. The size of it doesn't matter. Would you agree with me? Every gift is from God. I hope you will. But what are the gifts that we've been given? What are these gifts that we talk about? We're blessed by God, generic terms. What are some of these gifts that He's given to us? How about Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 13? It says, "And also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all his labor. It is the gift of God." The food that I ate yesterday, even this morning, was a gift from God. Remember Ruth? Boaz offered her a cold bottle of water there in the field. What did she do? "Oh, thank you, Boaz. Thank you. Oh, I don't deserve this." I personally don't remember the last time I flipped the faucet on and got some cold water, or went to the refrigerator, the ice maker, and the cold water coming out of there, and thought, "Wow, what a blessing." Every gift that we get is from God. And one of those gifts, as pointed out here in Ecclesiastes, is just our food and our drink that we have. It's the gift of God. Okay, let's look at another gift that He gives us. James chapter 1 and verse 17, it says, "Every good gift, every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning." Every good thing in our lives is a gift from God. Let's remember that. It's not just because we were hard workers and we earned it. And I have what I have in my house, and I have my house, and I have what I have in my garage because I worked hard and I earned it and I saved and I didn't waste my money. And I've earned all this. God has gifted you with that. Say, "Wait a minute, I worked hard. I put in a lot of overtime. And I didn't frivolously spend my money the way some people do. I was wise with my money." Okay. Let's look at Ecclesiastes 5:19. It says, "Every man also to whom God hath given riches and wealth." Now, the Bible doesn't say put a dollar value on there, okay? So because we in America, even the least wealthiest, the poorest, is in the top 3% of the world's wealthiest, this applies to all of us, okay? Without any fussing about what riches and wealth are. "Every man also to whom God hath given riches and wealth, and hath given him power to eat thereof, and to take his portion, and to rejoice in his labor, this is the gift of God." What is God saying is a gift here? Not just our riches and our wealth, but it says also the power to eat thereof, the power to take his portion. He's talking about our health that we have. Yes, you work 18 hours a day, 8 days a week for 300 years. You worked hard for everything that you have. God gave you the health to do that. Still the gift from God. We may have worked, we may have earned, we may have saved, we may have been rewarded because of our hard work and the promotions and the pay raises and all the other areas of our life that we excel in, but it was God that gave us the power to work hard. He gets the glory. He gets the thanks. And what should we do with our blessings? God did give them to us, so what should we do with them? 1 Peter 4 and verse 10, "As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God." Okay, there's a few things in that verse there. I don't want to just run from it. Okay, now I'm keying in first on that word gift. It's not, the context of that passage is not referring to all of the gifts and blessings that God has given to us, but the truth is still the same. Minister the same one to another. Okay? What are we to do with our blessings? They're not for me to keep to me and consume for me and my personal pleasure and happiness. God blesses me so I can bless others. God blesses you to bless others. As he says there, as a good steward or a manager of the manifold grace of God. There's that word grace thrown into that verse. You know what that does for us here? It tells us that these gifts and blessings that I have, I don't deserve them. I have them because of the grace of God. And what should I do with them? Be a good manager of them. Sometimes we do what James 4:3 says. Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lusts. It's me, myself, and I. It's all mine. Nobody else's. It's just for me. My friend, you may be listening this morning and have always thought that when your time ends, you'll be okay. Because you have, really, really, you have, after all, you've been a good person. But may I share with you just a couple more verses? Acts chapter 8 and verse 20 says, "But Peter said unto him, Thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money." There are denominations, biblical teachings today from some areas that say if you will put money into this thing here, that will make you okay with God. And here's God saying the gift of God may not be purchased with money. Romans chapter 5 and verse 18, if you will allow me just one more verse to share with you. "Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so, by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto the justification of life." Your life would be just as if you had never sinned because of the free gift that God purchased, Jesus purchased, by facing God's wrath himself on the cross, and how he offers that life to you. Have you accepted that gift of salvation? The gift that comes to us by grace. To approach that gift of salvation, forgiveness, eternal life in heaven. To approach that with the attitude, well, I'm a good person because I did this and I'm doing that and I don't do those things. I'm good. That's boasting. And we've already looked at that verse, Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. It is by grace. And it's when we come to God with the attitude, I don't deserve forgiveness, that we have then placed ourselves in a position to receive that grace of forgiveness. Maybe you're listening this morning and you need to receive that gift. I'm going to share with you how in just a moment. Those of you that are Christians, you know you've received that gift. Are you living your life the way you should be? Are you showing the gratitude for the blessings that you've been given? Are you living your life as though you do have something to sing about? Maybe there's blessings you're missing out on right now because you're not practicing full obedience. Let me encourage you this morning, before our time ends, to just bow your heads and ask God to forgive you for that. He will. That's the one prayer that God will answer yes every time. Father, forgive me. Would you bow your heads with me right now, please? In your homes, wherever you're at. And let me ask you, my friend, more important than anything else that I've said here today, whether you're a member of this church or you're not a member of this church, you must receive salvation by grace only. It's not by your works. Have you done that before? You're not sure? then I wonder right now, it's maybe your heart is troubled. You've been thinking about this. It's on your mind right now. Let me ask you to join me in a prayer from your heart. God, I am a sinner. Please forgive me for my sin. Go ahead. And you just pray that. God, I'm a sinner. Please forgive me for my sin. God, I don't deserve your forgiveness. God, there's nothing I can do to earn your forgiveness. Jesus paid for it on the cross. Thank you for extending this gift to me today. God, by faith, I'm trusting this gift to forgive me. My friend, the Bible says, if you believe in your heart, the words you just said, if you believe in your heart, thou shalt be saved. Let me encourage you, if you prayed that prayer this morning, please contact us here at the church. Let us know. I want to rejoice with you. I want to, in fact, here's also what I want to do. I want to help you learn more about grace, learn more about God's blessings. Would you contact us, please? Let me help you with that. Members of Grace, others that have joined with us from other churches, thank you for being with us this morning. And let me ask you this. Will you please take what you've heard today and allow it to change you as you go through your day? Father in heaven, thank you for allowing us this time together today. God, I ask your blessing on the truth that was given and planted in people's hearts. God, I trust your Spirit to take that and continue to work in people's hearts. Thank you for what, not only what you've done during this time this morning, but what you're going to continue to do through what we've done here this morning. Thank you, Lord, and we ask that the rest of this day would be something that would be honoring and glorifying to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Folks, have a great day.